Well, good morning.
Good morning.
If we were in Wichita, we'd have about 6 inches of snow on the ground up in Leavenworth. My colleague posted 4 inches of snow. What? It's Easter. We got off easy. I want to tell you about a couple people that I knew. Names were Carl and Ed. Carl and Ed were older members of my last church, and they were very sweet guys. One of them had been a professor, had taught English literature and writing at the local university, and he had been a bachelor his whole life. He had lived with his mother for a long time, and then eventually lived out on his own. Ed, the other person, had been a traveling salesman all over the western states. He had sold all kinds of different things, and he was a sweet, gentle soul, and they had become friends in their ninth decade. They found each other at their retirement home, and Carl was kind enough to invite Ed to church. And Ed started coming to church at St. Peter's. And Ed, at the young age of 92, had never in his life been invited to church. And he started coming. And he started coming every week, and people sort of fell in love with him because he was very sweet and kind. And he would talk and chat, and he had interesting stories of his travels. And after a while, he just sort of became a regular part of the community. And then one Easter, we went through the vigil, we went through the services, and afterwards he came up to me and he said, "I get it." He said, "Father Gar, I need to be baptized." Okay. That's a new 92 baptism. Okay. That's great. He says, "What do I need to do?" So we started meeting and we went through. He wanted to meet, wanted to hear it all. And so we met and we went through the stories. We went through the theology. We went through the understanding. And the day came for his baptism. He looked like a three-year-old boy who had just gotten candy for the first time. And he came in and his friends came from the retirement home. And we were there. And it was a beautiful day, and he was baptized. And afterwards, he said, "I can't believe it took this long. I'm so glad that Carl asked me to come to church with him." I was always touched by that story. I was always touched by getting to know him. And there's not a second part, by the way. There's nothing coming. But it was a wonderful moment in which the light of Christ, the love of Christ shared by friends and community, was very clear. And for Ed, he could see again. He could see something new. He came to a new understanding of God. Now, in our time, darkness is not common. In fact, we have lights almost everywhere. I'm willing to bet at your house, even with your shades, unless you have the really special shades that really make it dark, you have a little bit of light that comes in at night. You have enough devices that glow, your cell phones, iPads, any number of electronic devices that might be in your room where you sleep, that gives you a little light. But I don't know about you, even when I get up in the morning, sometimes I still can't quite see, and I have to be careful because I'll stumble. Because inevitably there's a dog bone on the floor, there's a shoe, there's something I've left there. I can't really blame anybody when it's me. But as you get up, you're sort of disoriented, you're not sure where you are. And then once the light comes on, there's a moment when the darkness is pushed back. We begin to see. Christine was a classmate of mine in seminary. She was a year behind me and graduated the year afterwards. She was blind from birth. And she invited Kelly and I over for dinner one time. And we went over, and her house was completely dark. And in one of my more brilliant moments, I said, "Christine, how can you see? You don't have any lights on." She says, "You know what, Gar? I don't have any light bulbs either. I don't need them." Oh. And she would go on and talk about how she orients herself through touch, through hearing, through feeling. She found her way in other ways. I was touched by that moment because it sort of opened up a new understanding for me of how I might find the gospel or might see. What if we're in darkness in our life? What if we don't see everything like we think we might? What if the truth is only partly revealed? Paul says that we see through a mirror dimly. And that metaphor means that we see something, but we may not be able to make everything out. We're here to hear the story of the resurrection, to experience once again what God has to say to us, the good news of hope. And maybe this is the first time you've really paid attention. Or maybe I sound like the Charlie Brown teacher. Womp, 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 womp. Or maybe you've heard the story so many times, you're numb to it. Or maybe the lights are off and you don't know it. We come to hear a story about our Savior, about God. And it's a story of love. It's a powerful story of love that is meant to give us hope. And not false hope, and not light hope, but real hope. It's a story that tells us that even if we can hardly see it all, there is light. It tells us that even in our ninth decade, we can come to know God's love. It tells us even in the face of some of the most difficult moments of our life, God is sustaining us and with us. It's a love that tells us if we see hunger, we have the ability to try to do something about it. It's the kind of love that tells us if we see someone suffering and we're not suffering, that maybe we're the ones to reach out. It's the kind of love that tells us that we can love others even if it's really hard. It's the kind of love that tells us we are alive. We are filled with life. And we are alive and filled with life, and we have hope. What did Jesus do? He changed the world. How? By loving and dying. By loving his disciples and those who claimed him so much that he would sacrifice his own life that we might know, that we might see, that the light might push back the darkness. He says to the slave, "You're free." He says to the woman who is hemorrhaging every day, "You are made well." He says to the lame, "You can walk." He says to the blind, "You can see." He says to the deaf, "You can hear." And he says to the captives, "You are set free." What is that freedom? It's the hope that we have here. It cannot be taken away. As Paul says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. But sometimes it's hard to believe that, isn't it? So here's the challenge. The world is a challenging, difficult place. And it's an election year. Don't worry, I'm not going into politics. We have choices as people of faith. How we respond to others, how we react, what we say, what we do. So the challenge for me is for you to listen to that story, to pray to God to open your eyes, to open your ears, and to open your heart, and to listen. Because we can be beacons of light in the world. I can't define that for you. It's something each of us has to discern in our own way. But that's our call. The women come to the tomb expecting to follow their ritual, expecting to be alone, expecting to see their hope buried. But the tomb is empty. And the angels appear, and Jesus is risen. And the whole world changes. So go be a light. Tell someone else the story. There are lots of Eds in the world who've never been invited, who've never heard this story, who've never known the love of God. And even if we only have a small part of it, that's enough to share. And so we go to them and we say, Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Let's try that again. Alleluia, the Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.